Welcome, gentlemen, and we're going to start off by asking Coach Helton to make his opening statement, and then we'll move to Coach Meyer. Coach?
Yes, what a great week it's been for our football team. You hear so many great stories about the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, and all of them are true. I'm going to tell you what, from an unbelievable first-class group of people to the events our team has been able to do this week, you don't got to come to the Cotton Bowl Classic, you get to. And we have been absolutely blown away as a team this week. It's been a great week of preparation for our guys to have the ability to be in AT&T Stadium for 3 days and get some really good work in the venue that you're going to get to play in. That doesn't happen too often. So a wonderful week. Could not be any better for our players and our coaches, and we look forward to playing a great Ohio State football team this Friday night.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Meyer?
I'd also like to thank the Goodyear Cotton Bowl for their hospitality and the great city of Dallas. Much respect for the city of Dallas. And the two groups I really want to thank are the players. You know, we're two conference champions playing against each other, and I don't think that should ever be lost in the conversation piece of what college football is really all about. So I know Coach Helton feels the same about his squad. They went out and won the Pac-12 championship, and the Ohio State Buckeyes went and won arguably the most difficult conference and division in college football. So thanks to everybody, but really a special thanks to our players that got us here to play in this great game against a great team, two traditionally very strong programs that I'm sure the country is going to look forward to watching this game. So thank you.
Okay, we'll take questions from the floor, and I want to remind you there will be no one-on-ones. Once the coaches are released, they're going to leave immediately, so you can't talk to them anymore after we do this. So if you have a question, we'll start off on the front right here. We'll bring a microphone over, and again, your name and your affiliation, please.
Coach Meyer, Kevin Baxter from the LA Times. You talked about two conference champions, the tradition, and everyone remembers Ohio State and USC, those great games at the Rose Bowl when they're both conference champions. Now you're at the Cotton Bowl. What does that say? The tradition lives on, just in a different location?
It sure does. You know, this is the fans, and really America wanted the playoff, and I think it's great. We've been in the playoff twice, and it makes every game count, obviously. And I have never been to the Rose Bowl. That's the one bowl game I've never been to, so hopefully get there someday. But this is, you know, this is a great bowl game. Traditionally, it's been, I was here in 1987 when Ohio State played Texas A&M, and then we were here for the BCS, or not BCS, College Football Playoff Championship a couple years ago. So I think it's what the fans want. Fans wanted to have a playoff. Fans wanted, and it's worked out great. It's still, what's the great thing about this is you're going to see the Pac-12 champion against the Big 10 champion on a great venue, and that's what college football is so strong right now.
We got a question about halfway back on the left side in the middle.
Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News for Urban. Urban, you've set a very high standard since you've been at Ohio State. Would a third loss, which you haven't suffered in a while, at all tarnish this season?
I'm sorry, I missed that question.
Okay. Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News.
Right.
Since you've been at Ohio State, you've set a very high standard of excellence. Would a third loss, which you haven't suffered in quite a while, at all tarnish this season?
Sure, it would. I think our job is to go win the conference championship and go win a bowl game. So I'm not sure tarnish is the right word, to be disappointed and move on to next year. I think as I grow a little older and more experienced, I'm not going to let, you know, we're going to move forward. We don't look back. And so we're going to do all we can to go into this game.
Got a question on the outside aisle.
Coach Helton, if you would just talk about the Ohio State team that you're playing, some of the things you've seen and your observations of what has made them such a good team.
Yeah, without question, the most complete team that we've faced. Extremely well coached on both sides of the football. I look at it defensively, and the number of opportunities you get are few because they're able to get off the field, you know, only giving up about 290 yards a game, 19 points, and the depth is what stands out to you, especially on the defensive front, to be able to have a guy coming off the bench basically as a pass rusher in Bosa and leading your team in sacks is beyond impressive. impressive. Offensively, you know, so many weapons across the field. It starts with the quarterback, being a quarterback coach by trade. I'm just so impressed with JT, his experience, his leadership, his dynamics and charisma on the field are just evident. And to be a guy that can rush for 700 yards, but still, you know, be a 3,000-yard passer, that's pretty darn special. And then you got to try to stop J.K. and Mike along with that, with about six receivers that are as good as anybody in the country. So a very complete football team, a very well-coached football team. We'll have our hands full Friday night.
We have a question on the aisle right here.
Bill Livingston, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Urban, kind of following up on that, I know you said a lot about JT
right here.
In a short, succinct way, now that he's back in his home state playing his 50th and final game, what would you like to see? What would you like to say about him?
Well, JT, as we got ready to play the Big Ten Championship, you know, he in 2014 was injured and wasn't able to hoist the trophy in Indianapolis. That's when Cardale Jones took over. The following 2 years, we didn't accomplish, went to the playoff, but weren't able to win a championship. So JT was able to do that. Because I still think at the end of the day, quarterbacks are all measured. I think yards are great and et cetera. But how you really are measured as a quarterback is how many championships you won. So I really wanted to see him get that championship. And then to now be an opportunity to win the Cotton Bowl championship. So JT's done it all for us. Now it's an opportunity to close out his career in his home state and say he's a Cotton Bowl champion.
Question on the second row on the left side.
Adam Grossbard, Dallas Morning News. Clay, can you talk about how Sam Darnold has developed over these past 3 years?
I think anytime that you're in the realm of being a quarterback in Los Angeles, California, in that type of media market, being watched on a daily basis, and you handle it with the class and character that young man has, I think is beyond impressive. Not only has he grown and matured as a quarterback, but to see his maturity as a person is just evident. And I'm in agreement with Coach Meyer as far as quarterbacks are back there, and they're all measured by winning football games. And, you know, not only JT, but Sam, both these two kids, and when they go out there, they're just winners. They find ways to win for their team. Every time that Sam's had that opportunity, when it's been the bright lights on the brightest stage, he's accomplished it. So he's one of those guys that when you go through your career, you only get few opportunities to coach a guy like that. We've been blessed to be able to coach Sam Darnold.
Got a question on the aisle on the
Austin
back.
Ward. Yep, Austin Ward, Land of 10. Urban, there have been some reports that you may have found a 10th assistant coach to hire early next month. I don't know if there's anything official on your end, but what is that position going to do for your program? What's the value of adding one more staff member, and is there a plan in place for the next couple weeks?
Not really. There's been some conversation. There's nothing been finalized. I'm, like most college coaches, are trying to figure out how this is going to work. And I just want to do right by Ohio State. And we usually have transition. I think we're going to escape that this year. I'm like most of the coaches that right now are just trying to put that puzzle together and do the very best for our university and our program. So I got some ideas, but there's nothing been finalized, and we'll certainly wait till after the bowl game.
Question right next to him.
Tim May, Columbus Dispatch. Urban, how much time have you been able to spend on evaluating Dwayne Haskins Jr., Joe Burrow, and Tate Martell this preseason? Because obviously in the spring it's going to be a huge battle.
Sure is, every day, and excited to watch them go. I really respect all three players, and that's the kind of depth that you need. We saw what happened several years ago when some third-string quarterback jumped in there and did pretty good for those final three games. So they all have somewhat different skill sets, which is a little bit of a challenge for us, but it's also a lot of fun to go coach those guys, and they've been outstanding the last few weeks, because we've been given a lot of reps too. And I usually keep the young guys afterwards, let the old guys go in and keep the young guys out, and we practice some extra reps during bowl practice like we always have. And you realize how good those three guys could possibly be.
Got a question on the front right side.
for Urban. Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch. A little bit along the same lines. A lot of this bowl preparation has been about looking at younger players. You're going to have a lot of turnover next year. Who are the young guys that have kind of caught your eye that have developed during this bowl prep?
See, Bill, I've never looked at it. This bowl preparation is about going to win a game. You know, I hear people say, well, it's all about developing young players. That's not what we do. Now, I'll keep some guys afterwards and work with them, but bowl preparation is about going to play a team that if you're not ready, they'll beat you and beat you bad. So I want to make sure that bowl preparation Ohio State's about doing everything you possibly can to go win that game. Now, afterwards, we work with some young guys, but that's not what bowl practice is. Well, I hear coaches say that sometimes, and I disagree with that. This is a game. This is an opportunity to go win a game that against two conference champions. So I just always try to stop that when I hear that. Well, bowl preparation is about development of young players. Not necessarily. I mean, we're going to try to go win a game. If we develop young guys along the road, that's our job. So that's part of it.
Question on the outside left.
Coach Helton, we see the sack numbers about your defense. If you would talk about what makes your defense so special.
I think one, I'm very fortunate to have Clancy Pendergast as our defensive coordinator and what he brings to the table on a weekly basis. I think he's done a great job of fitting our personnel within his system and to take young men like Uchenna Nwosu and Rasheem Green. It's not just one specific guy. It's a host of 5-6 guys, and somebody shows up different each and every week. I think our kids truly believe in the system. They approach each game with a sense of enthusiasm because they know it's ultra aggressive, and that's Clancy's personality. But it's a bunch that has really bought in together, work together, compete together, and celebrate together. I've never seen a bunch that's so happy for the other guy when he makes a play. And they kind of feed off each other. They had a huge challenge coming into this year. They wanted to make a statement because the numbers were down a little bit a year ago. And they really took it to heart, and credit them and credit their coaches. I think they've done a wonderful job this year.
Question on the front right.
Joey Kaufman, Orange County Register. For Clay, has you gotten any clarity with Porter and Jack Jones going into this game? It seems like Porter still hasn't able to do much.
Yeah, Joey, I don't think Porter's going to be able to go in this game. And then Jack is battling an ankle right now. It's day-to-day. He's got limited work this week. We'll see again today and then tomorrow in warm-ups. I think it'll be more game-time decision.
Got a question on the aisle, left side.
This is for Coach Meyer, Greg Katz from WeRSC.com. You've had a great career, and you've seen a lot of quarterbacks. Who does Sam Darnold most remind you of, and what is the greatest challenge for your defense in dealing with him?
I see a streaky player, and I say that with a lot of respect, that once he gets on, and that's the job of the defense, not let him get on. And that's the best pass defense is a pass rush. But I see a winner. I see a young man that's going to go down as one of the winningest quarterbacks in USC history, and a guy that has got a great release, great size, and enough athleticism to make you pay if you're not secure in all the gaps. So excellent football player. And, the guy that I know we're talking about Sam, but the darn tailback now, we haven't heard as much about him until I started watching him on videotape, and it's hard to say he's not as good as him. We face Barkley at Penn State, who's terrific, will be a top 10 pick. This guy is outstanding, Ron Jones. So outstanding player.
Got a question on the aisle right side.
Urban Taylor Ashbrook, EBSN. You spoke about the last few weeks. The most important thing has been preparing for this bowl game, not developing new, younger players. But you've also had to juggle the recruiting game in the last few weeks with this new early signing period. How hard has that been to juggle recruiting and preparing for the bowl game at the same time? And if you could elaborate on your thoughts on the new early signing period.
Sure. It was... I'm not sure awful is the right word because we turned out okay, but it was that was a lot of I've never worked like that in December. You know, you're normally recruiting, getting things ready for January. You have a couple official visits, you move on, and it was every night in that plane somewhere, and you're trying to squeeze those official visits. We did very good. I'm very pleased with who we got for the majority, other than a couple, we're exactly where we needed to be. Now, what's going to be intriguing is what happens afterwards. You know, we're still having those conversations. What do you do with the month of January? I imagine it's going to be mostly junior recruiting, and I imagine most teams have two or three. I think we have maybe two spots left. That's it. And but it was very difficult, and more difficult on our coaches than me, because, you know, we're and our players. So we have a very mature team. There's been a couple practices. We're only got five or six guys there, and trying to schedule that. So at first, I was very much opposed to it. I think it's remained to be seen. I think we did very well, and so we'll see what happens down the road.
We have a question on the right.
Nick Petrovich, Toledo Blade. Clay, I had a question about both of these two programs have players that are talented enough to consider the NFL after 3 years. Mm-hmm. But now with the signing period in December, how do you plan a roster when you don't know who's staying or going since the deadline is in January?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a guessing game, and your numbers are built on that. I think one of the things that happens, especially at a place like USC and Ohio State, is you're competing for the best players across the country, and some of those players aren't going to make their decision until February. That's what we've seen. So you have to do a great job of not worrying about filling out, hey, numbers and saying, hey, the midterm signing date, let's go sign all 25 guys. You better get the best players for you and your group. So I thought when you look back at what we were able to accomplish this past signing period, very happy with it because we were able to get the guys that we felt, one, fit our systems, but extremely talented individuals, but still leaving ourselves numbers to be able to go compete for the best of the best come February. And those guys are still out there and still on our radar and battles that we need to win. So it is a little bit of a juggling act, a little bit of a guessing game. But when I for the first time through, I was extremely pleased with how it went for our football club.
We have a question about halfway back on the right side.
Doug Lamarice, Cleveland.com. Urban, great quarterbacks are hard for everybody to defend, but when you see Deshaun Watson in the bowl game last year, Baker Mayfield this year, are there any just lessons learned about they're going to make plays, but is there anything better you guys can do or your defense can do to try to handle the elite quarterbacks like this?
Well, certainly there is. You know, the early in the season, we were very young in the back end of our defense, and they were much improved. If you remember, in the end of the first half of that game, too, it was a mess. But you had to replace three starters in the back end of our defense. They've really improved and played much better as the season went along. So to answer your question, are there things that we can do better? Of course there is. The best pass defense, though, always keep in mind, is somehow getting your hands on that quarterback and disrupt him. This Sam, if you give him time with the receivers they have, you won't stop him. That's not going to happen. And you can't design a coverage that's going to take away these excellent receivers in a top two pick in the NFL draft. It's the ability to disrupt a quarterback, make him reset his feet, make him move, get a hand on him. That's going to be key to this game. And anytime you face a very good quarterback. In those games, we weren't able to do that.
Question on the front, right here in front of us. We'll wait till we get a microphone.
Hi, Clay. Candace Coots, Pac-12 mm-hmm. Networks. I want to touch on the tradition of family you guys have at USC, mm-hmm. and particularly for you, as you look at your upperclassmen who have helped really elevate the program back to its prestigious mm-hmm. level. Rose Bowl victory last year, that was fantastic. Conference championship, you're here today mm-hmm. against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. What do those guys mean to you, and what are you hearing this week as you're here at the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, it's probably what I'm most proud of over our first 2 years here at USC. Having been at USC for 8 years, I was always blown away by the Trojan family and what that meant. It is a true family. The kids make fun of me. I must say brotherhood 1,000 times a week, but it is. It's about playing for your brother. I think when you play for your family, you're preaching unselfishness, and you're preaching, hey, the team success is more important than individual success. That individual success is just a byproduct of what we accomplish as a team. So the word family is used over and over and over again. And I think that's where our biggest change has been on our football team, is not worrying about us as an individual, but worrying about us as an entire group and playing for each other. And that's what I'm most proud of. This last game's going to be special. There's a lot of guys that, I've been with now some 5-6 years. It's to see them play their last game in this venue against a great Ohio State football team. Yeah, there's a lot of emotions that go with that.
Question on the left side, halfway back in the middle.
Yeah, this is for both coaches. As Urban Meyer refers to them, the second uncles who get involved sometimes at this point in the year with players who might decide to be leaving and stuff. Are both of your teams going to be full 100% attendance tomorrow as far as playing the guys who might be leaving, et cetera? And are you surprised by that?
Go ahead, Coach.
Well, I want to clarify, it's third uncle is a term I use quite often. And those are people that shouldn't have any conversation with anything because they don't know. So I just want to clarify that. Yeah, we anticipate that we'll be full, ready to go play, and everybody's playing.
Yeah, you know, I've always thought that it's so special to have the opportunity to play with your brothers one last time. And, you know, the thing that I think each case is in its own individual nature, but I'm so thankful, you know, in this realm of having to make decisions whether to play or not play. You know, we're going into the second year that of this, and being able to say, you know what, every guy that has the ability to play is going to be out there playing. This is a big game for both universities and both fan bases. We know how special it is as a team, and I know our kids are really, really excited to be out there, so yes, they'll be out there.
I want to remind you, there's no more questions after we shut this down for the coaches. So if you got a question, this is the time to do it. We got a question on the left side about three quarters of the way back.
Taylor Hetrick, UTA Communications. I was just wondering, you played for your father back in Houston, and you saw his style and influence of coaching. Does that direct your style of coaching and your approach to this game?
I learned everything from my dad. My dad's my hero, my mentor, and I still call him 3 times a week. I think any gentleman or any coach that's had over 40 years of experience, both at NFL and college level, and that has that much love and compassion for you, you listen to. And he's a guy that, he, for the matter of fact, flying in today. I can't wait to give him a big hug. But he's had a lot to do with how he's taught me how to be a husband, how to be a father, and how to raise kids in the college game. So very, very thankful and blessed to have him in my life. Thank you for that question.
We got a question on the right-hand side.
Urban, this was the last game for any of the guys from the 2013 recruiting class that you had, that so many of them are already in the NFL having success, and then guys like JT and Billy Price. Just as you think about that group that you and your staff were able to bring in at that time, what have they done overall? We've asked you about it a million times over the years, but that 2013 class, in the end, how would you describe what they did for Ohio State football?
Good question, and I remember the introductory press conference talking about my home state and making the great state of Ohio proud and everything we do on and off the field, and they haven't been perfect, but they've been pretty close. And they won a lot of football games. They've done it the right way. You know, you don't hear many issues that we have to deal with off the field. The graduation rate's going to be 100. Every one of those players are going to graduate. Something we started several years ago, the Real Life Wednesday program. Every one of them with job opportunities waiting for them. And I can't imagine. I remember talking with Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Spielman many, many times throughout that fall when I was with ESPN in Ohio, not being disrespectful to any other universities, but Ohio State's a very proud program that you're expected to represent university the right way. And I think that group in particular have. And I want to make sure they'll never be forgotten, because I know I'll never forget them.
If I could follow up quickly about one of the guys in that group, Eli Apples had some issues in the NFL the past couple weeks. Just what is your take on that, knowing Eli and like you do?
Eli was fantastic for us. Zero issues, and I don't really know. I know he came back to see us. We chatted for a little bit. As soon as this game's over, I'm going to try to get in the middle of that one and find out, because of our love we have for Eli. I know our players have talked to him a little bit. I don't know the whole, so it's unfair for me to comment on the situation, but you guys covered Eli for 3 years, and Eli was fantastic for us. A team player, and almost put team before self, and became one of the best corners in college football. So
we got a question on the left, and then we'll go to the platform.
Urban, it seems that Larry Johnson felt like he needed to address his future, put out that he wasn't going to be retiring or sticking around. Did you have concerns that that wasn't going to be the case with him? And I'm sure that you're obviously happy to have him back, given what he's provided that unit over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Larry's fantastic. And, you know, it's when a coach talks, you know, when schools go talk about, like, your staff or other things, I don't understand that. And that's something we don't do. We have plenty to sell with our program. So Larry felt, I didn't even know that was going on because I don't get involved in that. But when he came to me and said, I need to do this, or because some school's using this against me, first of all, I'm like, well, really? You know, so they now know your career plans. You know, it's, I'd love to be that parent, because my kids were recruited where someone comes in my home and starts talking about Clay Helton. I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't know the man. So I felt, you know, I was not involved in that. When Larry said that, sure, go ahead, Larry, and do what you got to do. We support you 100%.
We got a question on the platform. I doubt if you can see them, but they're on the all the way the back on the right hand side.
For Coach Meyer, Steve Hellwagon, 24/7 Sports. As I understand it, 11 of your 22 starters for this game have their degrees in hand. Just how rare is that to be with a group that has accomplished that? And what does that mean for them to go on to whatever their next step is and have that degree in hand?
Now, there's a softball question. Make sure we give him the microphone. I don't imagine I'll be on everybody's blog when they talk about. You know, it's amazing. We had 9 juniors leave for the NFL draft 2 years ago, 6 last year, and then the guys you just mentioned, the fifth-year guys, and Billy Price is going to leave with a master's degree. Some guys have already got progress towards a master's degree, and that's what goes back to the same question about the 2013 group, that it's a very strong, healthy program because we recruited the right kind of guys. And no one's ever claiming to be perfect, or we would have never lost a game. But I think when you look at this era of what those kids did for Ohio State, for the great state of Ohio, for their families, and for college football, it's going to be a very positive memories for what those kids have done. And more than just great players, but who they are. And I can't wait to, you know, get around them. It's one of those days, that one of those deals, listening to Clay talk about his program is there's times in our careers that you are not excited about to get to work. And there's other times where you just go as fast as you can to get there to see your players. That's this kind of group.
We got a question in the middle left.
Yeah, Urban, you talked in the past about trying to get in touch with Ezekiel Elliott and the season after some of the issues that he had over the summer. Being here in Dallas this week, have you had any chance to be in touch with him, or do you anticipate that at all?
I texted him, and then also I anticipate he's going to be with us for the game.
We have a question on the front left.
Ari Wasserman, The Athletic. Urban, you guys have spent a lot of time recruiting Southern California. USC's been recruiting Ohio for the past few years. How often do you bump in to USC, and how tough has it been just day-to-day in your recruiting process trying to out-recruit or recruit against USC?
Not very often. You know, I think, you know, that we have our home turf and our footprint, and same with USC. You know, we'll go out there and cherry pick like USC does, and if we believe you're a first-round draft pick or an elite player that has some type of tie. You know, Marcus Ball had a lot of ties to Ohio with his aunt who lives right there in Columbus. Wyatt Davis is a young man that came to play for us who's going to have a great career for us. We anticipate that just had some ties that he just always followed Ohio State. So it has to be a unique situation to travel that far. So we don't, to say we blanket the state of California, we don't do that.
Spent a lot of time in the last few years in Cleveland and Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Given the way that Ohio State has had a pretty solid track record of keeping their best players at home, mm-hmm. why did you feel it was worth your time or worth USC's time to go up and recruit Ohio the way you guys have?
Well, we have the same philosophy as Coach Meyer. You know, to be able to leave the West Coast, one, it has to be a first-round draft pick talent that we feel, and then two, there has to be some type of fit that we feel that we can drag a young man thousands of miles away. Because when we look at it geographically and where we recruit, our study has shown there's 125 Power Five players signed a year in Southern California. You know, and we're either going to sign those young men or we're going to be playing against them in our conference. So when you look at our breakdown on a typical year of signing 25 men, you know, anywhere from 20 to 22 are going to be West Coast. Then you're going to have guys that come from other areas, a Leonard Williams coming from Daytona Beach, Florida, maybe a Nelson Aguilar coming, you know, from Tampa, Florida, that there was just the right fit. There was something about USC that fit them to make them come that far away. So we don't branch out a ton outside, but there are the times that you look up, and Ronald Jones always wanted to be at USC his whole life. And you develop that relationship. It's a terrific fit. And all of a sudden, you get a young man from McKinney, Texas, to come out to California. So when you have those opportunities, you take them, but you have to be able to defend your area, your geographical area first.
Question on the front, right here on the right side.
Urban, leadership among the players is such a big part of your program. You're losing, obviously, the 13 class, a lot of the 14 class. How do you feel about next year's group of leaders? Who do you think they will be, and how much of an issue is that?
I feel pretty good. You know, that remains to be seen, is the group of players and leaders we've had. They haven't had to lead very much. You know, it's anxious to see. I still don't know who exactly is going to be coming back. There's a group that I hope comes back, because I think there is good of players there. They're even better people and leaders. So I can't tell you that now, but January and February, there'll be good conversations about that.
Question on the front right.
Coach Hilton, Kevin Baxter, LA Times. Mm-hmm. Circling back to kind of where we started and Coach Meyer's answer, mm-hmm. does it seem strange to you that USC and Ohio State are playing again now in the Cotton Bowl, and it's certainly not going to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust this time?
These are two very high-powered offenses. You know, you look at Ohio State's offense, that's over 500 yards, 42 points a game, and just weapons across the field. This is going to be an electric football game, and it is one of those great games, I think, that are out there that people are going to be watching from not only the two universities and the football teams, but I mean, I think about everything about this game, even our bands. You think about the tradition of how great these two bands are coming together. This is just a classic matchup on every level, and I think it's great for college football for this to be able to happen, and then to happen right here in Dallas, Texas at the Cotton Bowl. I mean, how fun is that to be able to say, hey, you got to compete against an Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl? It's a special thing for our university.
Question on the left.
Urban, you mentioned the three quarterbacks that are coming back next year for you guys have different styles in Tate and Joe. And I was just wondering, how tough is it to have a quarterback competition when you have three guys with different skill sets? How much does your offense change if you're a pass-first guy or a dual threat, if you see what I'm saying? Is it going to be tough to have a quarterback competition and move forward in your program when you have guys with three what seem to be very different skill sets?
Yeah, I think there's appropriate time to talk about that. It's the day before the Cotton Bowl's not won, because I'm not, you know, I would not give it justice, because I'm not thinking about that. So I think in the spring we'll have great conversations about that. And I've always believed that you fit your offense around your personnel. When I hear a coach say, well, he just doesn't fit our scheme, change your scheme. And so we'll be fine, whoever's our quarterback. We'll adjust to that person. But to go through each quarterback right now, I'm not prepared to do that.
We've got a question on the front right.
For Clay, Joey Kaufman, Orange County Register. Just, you guys talked this season about how winning a conference title, it hadn't happened in 9 years, was important. So how important is winning this game in terms of making sure there's no sour kind of taste at the end of a season, or having people forget about that just because it's a long off season?
Well, I think you approach every game like we have, Joey, and we try to go 1-0 every week, and here's our opportunity to try to accomplish a 12th victory. That's special. You know, a 12th win has only happened 4 times in 125 years for USC football. So to be able to have that opportunity against a great Ohio State football team, it's a very important game for us. It's the next game, and it happens to be our last as a football family. So it is our Super Bowl. It is our opportunity to go out and put our best foot forward. We saw what being able to win a January 6 bowl game, a January 6 bowl game last year did for us at winning the Rose Bowl, and how that momentum carried over into the offseason as well as recruiting. So you do go out there with every intention to put your best foot forward. I've loved our preparation over the last 2.5 weeks for this game, and hopefully we do. Hopefully Friday night we put our best foot forward and hopefully accomplish our goal.
This is going to be the final question for this morning.
This is for Greg Katz from WeRSC.com. It's for both coaches. You know, we get politically correct answers, so I think when this question is presented, but I would really like to appreciate your take on it. When you see a matchup like what we have here, these are winning teams. These are championship teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to most state playoffs in high school, you see the champions go on to the playoffs, the natural process with some at-large teams added in. But how do you feel? Do you feel like this game is evidence that while a four-team playoff is better than maybe the past situations, that when you see a game like this, two teams that really take the whole country, you got the West Coast looking, you got the Midwest looking, does part of you say, you know, maybe an eight-team playoff is something we should consider?
Go ahead, go.
I've been a part of those conversations, and we were in the playoff, I think the thing to always keep in mind is there's really one group that really counts, and that's the players. You start extending this thing, you know, and you're starting to talk about, adding one more game, and it's not just another game, it's two sledgehammers going at each other. So I don't know. I don't see where that calendar would work, you know, where adding, you know, we're on the outside looking in twice. We're in the program, in the playoff twice, and twice we're right on the edge of not being in it. And I think if they extended the playoff, but I don't see it happening. But once again, no one's ever really asked my, you're the first guy to really ask my opinion. I don't know. I don't see it. I think it's very strong right now. And a lot of televised sports are kind of going down in certain areas. College football's just hitting on all cylinders right now. So I don't know how much I change, but.
Yeah, the playoff system has been great for our game. You see the excitement that it's created over the last couple of years. And, you know, as a head coach, you really don't worry about things that you can't control. And right now we're a four playoff team. And you talk about two teams that were in that controversy, you know, and in that discussion right down to the end, and have the ability to have this game against two really premier teams in the country. That's what you focus on. And then you worry about next year and you try to become one of those four teams. They try to take that next step from going from a conference champion to go ahead and being a playoff team. We're close, but we're not close enough right now.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you for your comments. If y'all would stand up, we're going to move a few things off the table and let our still photographers first, and then we'll take let me get the chairs out of the way, if you don't mind. And I get